It's Sunday, the 5th of April, day 15. Another really beautiful day. And this time with summer-type temperatures, nearly 20 degrees in the afternoon. We went for a cycle on roads that are usually busy with traffic. But today it was so quiet that we spent much of the cycle listening to birdsong. If we'd had a soundtrack for a GoPro video of our little trip, it would have been Vaughan Williams's The Lark Ascending. Mark O'Connell's book, Notes from an Apocalypse, is out. Tim Adams has a terrific review of it in today's Observer. The book is a byproduct of its author's personal anxiety about the state of the world in the cataclysmic year of 2016, when his therapist suggested to him that it might be helpful not to spend quite so much time following the news. His response to that advice was what Tim calls a kind of personal aversion therapy. Instead of shutting him off from the portents of doom that buzzed on his smartphone, O'Connell decided that he would follow them to the ends of the earth, which is how, for example, he wound up on the piece of real estate that the Silicon Valley contrarian billionaire Peter Thiel had purchased as a personal hideaway for when the apocalypse arrives. Before the book came out, I'd read an excerpt from it from which I learned something new, that the word apocalypse actually means revelation. And in that sense, the coronavirus is an apocalyptic event. It's revealing all kinds of things about our world, and especially about human nature, that we perhaps vaguely knew but didn't really pay much attention to. And the news is both good and bad. On the plus side, for example, the heroism and courage of healthcare workers has been wonderful to behold. I happen to know a few young doctors, and they are throwing themselves into this, knowing full well the dangers, and without the essential protective gear that the UK government, in its staggering incompetence, has been unable to provide. More disturbingly, we are discovering that the people who are suddenly described as critical workers, that's to say, the people who actually keep this society functioning, are almost without exception poorly paid and insecurely employed. They are the ones who live from paycheck to paycheck, have nothing in reserve, and who in recent decades have been obliged to spend increasing chunks of their incomes simply on rent. And while our political elites regularly pay formulaic tribute to these people when the public relations aspect of government requires it, the truth is that in terms of his or her contribution to society, the average critical worker contributes more than any banker, newspaper pundit, or for that matter, professor. This is one of the hard truths that the current crisis has revealed. And the big question for the aftermath will be whether this inconvenient truth will be again forgotten. Another revelation is about the darker sides of human nature. One of these is the astonishing capacity of people to believe nonsense, and not only to believe it, but sometimes to act on it. My academic colleagues and I spent some years studying conspiracy theories and their implications for a democracy. And what we saw was that whenever something dramatic happens, one of the most predictable consequences is the emergence of conspiracy theories that purport to explain it in a conspiratorial way. With the coronavirus, for example, the fact that it originated in Wuhan, where there happens to be one of the world's best research laboratories working on zoonotic viruses, that's to say viruses that can jump the species barrier. And we rapidly saw the emergence of conspiracy theories that the virus had been genetically engineered in that lab with the intention of teaching President Trump a lesson, but that something went badly wrong and it struck China first. And when we eventually get a vaccine for this blasted microbe, you can bet your bottom dollar that we will see the emergence of the same kind of virulent anti-vaxxers as the cretins who have been responsible for a resurgence of measles. The instinctive response to this guff is that you couldn't make it up until you discover the latest absurdity. Yesterday, The Guardian reported that people have been setting fire to mobile phone masks because of conspiracy theories linking 5G technology to the spread of coronavirus. The media regulator Ofcom said on Thursday that it was monitoring broadcasters who spread the discredited conspiracy theory, although coverage has spread more widely on social networks, such as WhatsApp, Facebook, Twitter, and even Nextdoor, which is supposed to be helping people during this particular outbreak. In some ways, I suppose this is just comical. Though if it led to serious damage to what is now a critical infrastructure, the masts, or attacks on engineers doing routine maintenance on them, it would cease to be funny. And there's also real evil lurking just round the corner. For example, as hospitals throughout Europe are stretched to breaking point, along comes news that some hospitals in Spain have been targeted with coronavirus-themed phishing lures by attackers looking to lock down their systems with NetWalker ransomware. According to local reports, some Spanish medical centres have been receiving emails purporting to offer, quotes, information on COVID-19, unquote, but with PDF attachments that activate the ransomware. Ransomware which is commonly associated with computer crime groups in Eastern Europe. So, what's been revealed as we make our way through this catastrophe? Well, that on the one hand, there's no upper bound on human altruism, and on the other, there's no lower bound on human stupidity and depravity. And in that sense, it's a genuine apocalypse.